Chef Eric Repair's New York restaurant, Le Bernardin, is one of the best, some say the best, in the world. It's held 3 Michelin stars, the top honor, since the prestigious French Guide came to New York in 2005, the same year Eric took over from the restaurant's beloved founders, Gilbert Lacoste and his sister McGee. Le Bernardin has consistently received 4 stars from the New York Times. How? Well, attention to detail. Chef told us that every night his entire cook staff gathers around a table on which sits a block of cheese. Because everyone's palate is different and always changing, they all taste a piece of the cheese and then collectively decide if it's too salty or not salty enough. And only then, having calibrated their individual taste buds to the reality of the cheese, do they go cook and season. And still, every plate must then come back past Chef Repair for a tiny taste. Some he sends back, although with kindness. We sat down at WBUR's sold-out City Space for a conversation that touched on cooking tips. His latest book is The Beautiful Seafood Simple. His faith, Buddhism. His loving friendship with the late Anthony Bourdain. But we started with, how did he get here? This will come as a shock to many, but you were born in France.
Yes, I don't have an accent, but I was born in France, yeah.
Sadly, Dad died when you were 11, stepdad, very abusive, but you also speak of a mom who cooked elegant meals. How is that in the you we meet today?
Oof. Well, I was very lucky. I had 2 grandmothers, one from Provence, one from Italy, cooking from their own culture. And then my mother was obsessed with fine dining. I would eat lunch and dinner with a different tablecloth, different china pattern, different wine on the table. And my mother would cook appetizer, main course, and dessert for lunch and dinner. And it would be different every lunch and dinner, every day of the week. And I thought every kid in the world was eating. I was like... I had the passion for eating and for being in a kitchen, even when times were difficult at home. My stepfather was not really a good friend of mine. But when we were eating lunch and dinner, it was peace. And it was very civilized until the end. And then we were starting the war again.
Well, food meant peace.
Yes.
And civility.
I strongly believe that.
You go to culinary boarding school at 15.
Yes.
Then work at one of the most storied restaurants in Paris, Le Tour d'Argent.
Yes.
Another Jamin with Chef Joël Robuchon. You went right to the top in Paris.
Yes. So I went at 15 to culinary school because I was a bad student. Instead of studying, I was reading cookbooks at night. The principal called me in office with my mom and said, look, the kid cannot go further. We have to find a vocational school. And I was like, yeah, culinary school. I'm going to culinary school, which I did.
Yeah.
And when I graduated, I grabbed the Michelin guide and I wrote a letter to the 18 three-star restaurant. And I said, yeah, I'm Eric Repair. I'm 17 years old. I just graduated. I want to come to your restaurant. Nobody answered. And then 2 months later, I received a letter from La Tour d'Argent in Paris. So I packed and started in La Tour d'Argent.
At 24, you come to the U.S. By the way, I adored my mom, but I had tuna casseroles. So I'm thinking of what I had growing up and what you had. Why did you come to the U.S.?
That's a good question. I was at Joël Robuchon, and he sent me to Washington, D.C.
Where you meet and work with the extraordinary Jean-Louis Paladin.
Yes. Suddenly, I was with Jean-Louis, who was extremely creative, gave me the opportunity to basically free myself from the dictatorship of Joël Robuchon and just start to express myself. The community of chefs, yes, we compete, but it's a very friendly competition. When you sit down at a table and you share a meal with someone, suddenly something magical happens. That's the power of eating together, and especially if you are cooking together, it's even more powerful.
Yeah. Well, you took from all the different chefs you worked with. And then, of course, in 1991, you were working with Chef Gilbert Lecoz.
Yes.
Le Bernardin. So sad. He died unexpectedly at 49. You're 29, and it's one of the best restaurants in the world. And 2 years later, you're the co-owner. 31. Terrified?
No. Oh. I mean... Well, first of all, when Gilbert Lecoz passed away, it was very difficult emotionally for me because he was a mentor, he was a dear friend, we were very close. And he gave me a lot of freedom to express myself. So when he passed away, it was not too much of a big change, except that I missed him tremendously. Mm-hmm. And then supposedly was a buzz in town that I was too young, I was going to lose the stars, I was going to not maintain the quality. I really didn't care. How can I make the food better today than yesterday, which is the same today actually? How can I make it better than yesterday? How can dinner be better than lunch? How can lunch tomorrow can be better than dinner and so on? It's only what I was thinking about.
Yeah. Now, you are vocal about your disapproval of abusive chefs.
For sure.
But there was a time when you acted through anger.
So when I grew up in the 80s in a kitchen, the chef was glorified as a mini dictator. And abuse was glorified. We were being verbally abused, physically abused. They were punching us in the shoulders, kicking our butt. Sometimes taking us in the coolers, the big fridge, and beating us. We were insulted, never a compliment. The idea was to break them and then rebuild them as champions. And it was the most stupid idea that I ever heard. I mean, we lost so much talent. But anyway, I was conditioned. So when I had my first position of authority in the kitchen, what did I do? I emulate my mentors. And in my life, I was miserable. And then the team was leaving. The ones that were staying with me were miserable. And then one night, I had this duh wake up kind of moment. And I
Is
said,
that I'm French?
I'm total. No. And I said, you know, I'm wrong. We have to change. So I came back the day after and I said, hey guys, we're changing everything. I'm so sorry. I apologize. But I had trained sous chefs for years to be abusive. Yeah. And then it took me months to retrain them because they were like, you nuts. Yesterday you tell us to be like this, now you change your mind. But I have to say, a cook who's shaking like this will never do a better job than a cook that's joyful. If it goes into the food, I guarantee you that the food will be better when you put love instead of fear. But I want to finish.
Do everything.
I want to finish because I have something to say. And then I see on television some programs now with some chefs that are promoting verbal abuse, stupid attitude. I'm not going to say, well, I'm going to say his name.
I was.
Right? Gordon Ramsay. Yeah. What is he doing? What is the production company behind him doing? What is the TV network supporting that? What are they doing? It's not the right thing to do. And each time I have an opportunity, I give it to Gordon.
I wondered how much your becoming a Buddhist impacted
yes.
this.
It's a philosophy that really speaks to me. Today, I really try to find a secular way to share with my team what I have learned.
And I am wondering if it helped you in the terrible time, we're just going to touch on it, Anthony Bourdain.
Yes. We were very close. We even had a show called Good and Evil. We went to 35 cities in the US and even Las Vegas. I saw my name on a marquee. I was like, oh my God, I made it with Tony. We will come on the stage and start to roast each other first. So it was brutal. And that friendship lasted until the very end.
The very end. You were there at the end. And you and the crew have vowed not to talk about it. And so
yes.
We're going to honor that. As you moved on, you know, what did you take from him? And how did you turn that corner, this deep friendship? You know, that's... tough.
Anthony and I were very different. And I think different, but I have the same values about doing the right thing. He will go in Vietnam, in Libya, in Congo, will be in the middle of the rainforest and be with someone with no education and nothing to offer except a little bit of food, sometimes not the freshest food. And by respect, he will eat everything that was given to him. Anthony would have hate for me to say love and compassion, and he was like, not about that. But he was practicing love and compassion, extremely respectful of other people, of their culture, of everything that was offered to him from the people he was interacting with, which is basically love and compassion.